paid for it.
General Washington smiled. You could see he was pleased.
But they gave you the lash. I've
been worse with us. It was necessary to make an example. I don't understand it, but Burke says it is so. The army must enforce discipline or it will be no army.
I hate the army. I'll not stay another day. Henry, let's go. Let's quit.
Andrews, do you mean to say?
I'm sick. I'll not die here. Better in the snow where a man can fall asleep.
Anders!
Burke, I thought you were asleep.
No. I have the strength to speak. You're out of your head. Throw a stick on the fire and go to sleep.
I won't be changed. My mind is fixed. If you and the boy won't go with me, I'll go alone or with others. There are many who have a mind to go.
You're not to quit now, Anders.
They whipped you.
There's no skin off your back.
You let them beat you and you say that? Burke, are you a man? Will you crawl and snivel and give a kiss for a lashing?
Ah, you're sick, Anders.
But I'm not mad. You were lashed.
I had a fair trial.
Your back is not so fair, Burke.
It'll heal. I'll go back to your blanket.
I'm going out.
No.
Why? Tell me why.
Because men like you don't run from a fight. Because if you go now, you'll never live with yourself again. It'll follow you. And the fight will follow you, too. You think you can fight it alone? One man alone? No single man can make the fight. But all men together. That way, together. You can't run from the fight and find what you seek. What you look for is here.
Whose fight? The merchants? The aristocrats?
Yes, the merchants, the aristocrats, if you will. It was your fight, too. The people's fight. One thing at a time, Andrews.
Curse you, Burke. Curse your hide.
Oh, but you'll stay.
May you have the black pox.
But you'll stay.
I hope your teeth rot with the scurvy.
But you'll stay.
Yes, I'll stay. I'll stay.
Because you believe me.
Quit. Don't plague me. I said I'll stay. What more do you want?
I want... Andrews. Andy, my friend. I want you to stay if you want to stay. It can't be otherwise.
Quit. Quit. It's so. You know it's so, Burke. I'm no deserter.
Captain, don't go. I want to talk. I'm depressed and tired. Tired.
You need sleep, sir.
Let Lord Howe sleep. Mrs. Washington has given me her Bible. It opened in my fingers to the book of Job. My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. Are there not mockers with me? And doth not mine eye continue in their provocation?
Close the book, sir. You have tribulations enough for one man.
I doubt myself. Am I worthy of the fidelity of the men?
You're a rock that grows on adversity, sir.
Before God, I hope you're right. This is a great country. There are 2 million people in it. Something will come of them in spite of our failures, in spite of the Congress that sits and talks and sits and talks and promises. Why have I not heard from the English corset maker? Oh, I know you don't like Tom Paine, but his words at Trenton were a miracle. They sustained the army. Where is another miracle? We have need of a miracle.
A miracle. Valley Forge, that was the miracle. The ordeal of the American Revolution. Out of it came the vibrations of deathless music. Valley Forge. Blood on the snow. The rabble in the tents stricken, starved, uncertain. Spring came and the camp stirred in the thin April sun. A fat little man named Von Steuben drilled the men. They vexed him, but he did not lose patience. He drilled them. He drilled them, and the naked, starving rabble became an army. The army of the free and United States of America. The disciplined army of the American Revolution. The army of the rights of man. The army that marches still, that marches now. The army of freedom that will never die.
The NBC Inter-American University of the Air presents Major General Leroy Lutz, Assistant Chief of Staff for Operations of the Armed Service Forces, in charge of logistics and supplies for the overseas army. Speaking to you from Washington, Major General Lutz.
You have witnessed in the preceding drama an oft-repeated experience in battle campaigns, the breakdown of logistics. In that ebb tide of the American Revolution that was Valley Forge, our soldiers had makeshift coverings for their feet, inadequate uniforms and equipment. Ammunition and cannon were almost non-existent. Food was largely forage, and such things as heated living quarters and essential medical materials simply did not exist. Because of all this, the campaign could not be concluded promptly. Needless additional years of sacrifice of life and property were required before the youthful nation could look to its own development in peace. Getting the proper number of trained men to the vital spot, properly equipped and on time, is the meaning of the word logistics. The successful accomplishment of this operation makes for high morale. Soldiers' confidence in themselves and their equipment is an essential of successful military operations. This will give you some concept of the importance of logistics in today's world war. The battles of Guadalcanal, Midway, Tunis, and Bizerta have been won, and the campaigns and battles of the future will be won because the science of logistics is efficiently applied to the Allied war effort. A single mechanized division requires 18,000 gallons of gasoline every hour when it is on the move. 4 billion pounds of military equipment are supplied our army camps, posts, and stations every month. American troops are stationed in more than 50 fighting fronts. These few figures give us a hint of the colossal undertaking in which we are involved in this present war. That it is being solved, you can have no doubt. Guadalcanal, Midway, Tunis, and Bizerta, and our increasing strength in Alaska, China, and Australia are strong testimony to that effect. I can do no better in concluding these remarks than to give you a quotation from the solemn pledge taken by civilian workers of the Army Service Forces. Quote, I know that they, our soldiers, cannot fight unless they are sent arms. They cannot live unless they receive food. They cannot meet the enemy unless they are furnished trucks, tanks, and planes, chemicals and clothes, equipment for swift communication, for building roads and bridging streams. They cannot survive wounds and diseases of war unless they have medicines. To send them these things is my job, for I am a soldier of supply. Unquote. The Army hardly endorses this pledge from the civilian at home. It reflects the democratic understanding and appreciation of the home front for problems and sacrifices of the soldier. It is no wonder that our Army is forging ahead relentlessly toward victory. What force can be mightier than a well-equipped, confident, and inspired Army of free men?
Thank you, General Lutz. The NBC Inter-American University of the Air, a radio university serving the Western Hemisphere, has brought you another program in Lands of the Free, a series on the history of the Americas. Next week, our subject is The Virgin of Guadalupe, a story of the Mexican Revolution. Lands of the Free is written by Morton Wishengrad and was directed today by William Sweets. Special music is composed and arranged by Leo Kempinski and conducted by Joseph Stopak. Featured in the cast were Frank Reddick as Burke, Edwin Jerome as General Washington, and Bartlett Robinson as Andrews. Others were Ralph Bell, Ian McAllister, and Ed Latimer. The narration was read by Myron McCormick. This program has been presented as a public service by the National Broadcasting Company and the independent radio stations associated with the NBC network and came to you from Washington and New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.